Have you ever noticed there's one category in life that always causes arguments? No, I'm not talking about politics, although it's true there too, or religion, which happens as well. I'm talking about superheroes, or more specifically, superhero movies. You're either on one side or the other. It's either Marvel or DC. The choices are very clear. And if people disagree with you, they will for sure let you know. Either way, it seems like most people love superheroes, just in general. In fact, superhero movies are some of the largest grossing movies ever. And why? Well, I think people love a good hero because of what they do and who they are. They solve a problem, they fight the bad guys, they're brave, and they can do some really cool stuff. Basically, they see something wrong in the world, and then they go do something about it in the most epic way possible. And maybe we love superhero movies because we all love the idea of superheroes existing in a real world. I mean, we could all use a little superhero help from time to time. Maybe for you, it's being rescued out of accelerated math or pushing your college application to the top of the pile or making life easier on your single mom. There are times in life when we just wish someone would do something to help us out, to make things change, to make things better, to solve the problem, to do something. Well, that's what we're gonna be talking about for the next few weeks. No, not Wolverine, although that would be awesome. We're talking about some of the biggest areas in life where we all wish someone would just do something. We're gonna talk about some things in the world that aren't quite right. The things that seem unfair, the stuff we may name as injustice. And when I say that word, injustice, what comes to mind for you? We should probably start with some definitions of that word. Justice simply means something is right, fair, or equal. So that means that injustice is just the opposite of that. So when we talk about injustice, we're talking about the things in our world that are not right, unfair, or unequal. But you didn't actually need me to define that, did you? No, for most of us, there's actually something that came to mind the minute that you heard the word injustice. Maybe it was something big and global, like human trafficking or global poverty or world hunger. Or maybe it was something local that feels so unfair and it's right around the corner. Maybe you're experiencing a kind of injustice personally and you know the pain all too deeply. Or maybe you've made it to a side of TikTok that over time and watching it enough and streaming it enough and having enough views on a specific video, it's helped you see injustice that you've never experienced before. What I'm getting at is that something comes to mind for all of us. And in fact, for you all, you understand this better than even older generations. You all see and care about injustice in ways that few generations before you ever have. And the real question that we all face is not, does injustice exist? We know it does. The question is, why doesn't somebody do something? And that's the question we're gonna be wrestling with for the rest of this series. What does it look like and whose job is it to do something about injustice? Now, as we get started, I have to admit, a conversation like this can be tricky because so many of us see and experience injustice in different ways. For some of you, this feels so heavy. You've been thinking about injustice a long time because you've experienced it or are experiencing it yourself. You've seen how this has affected your family and your friends and even your own life. This topic hurts. And if that's you, let me stop right here and just say, I'm so sorry. What you're walking through isn't okay. And if you take anything away from this message today, let it be that here in this student ministry, we don't ignore things that hurt our family. And you're a part of our family. We want this to be a safe place where you can not only talk about your real life experience, but where you can find real friends who love and support you all the way through it. On the flip side, some of you haven't experienced the hurt of injustice. Instead, maybe you feel surprised by it. Maybe when you were younger, you never thought about things like access to education or racism or food insecurity. And maybe as you're getting older and you're starting to see some things on social media, you feel like you keep discovering things that you never knew about in the world around you. Maybe you've even found yourself asking some questions that you've never asked before, like, why are there some students that never get in trouble when they should get in trouble? And then there are other students who are always getting in trouble even if they don't deserve it. Or why do people still act like it's okay to make jokes that are racist or sexist or ableist? Why does that guy continue to be bullied, but no one seems to care enough to do anything about it? Why does one person in our friend group go home to a house that feels unsafe while others of us don't have to worry about it at all? Why are there so many little kids in our community who don't get to eat if school's out? Why are 3 meals a day not normal for everyone? My point is this, when we see injustice, either through our own experience or the experience of someone else, it makes us ask some really hard questions. It makes us wonder how others don't see it or how we didn't see it before. It's not that we don't care about injustice, it's just that I think sometimes we don't do anything about injustice because we don't get close enough to see what's really happening and ask the really hard questions. And we aren't the first people to have this problem. In fact, Jesus made a habit of pointing out a lot of things that people hadn't seen before. One of the questions people asked Jesus a lot was, who's cool with you and who's not? Okay, maybe they didn't say it like that, although it would have been awesome if they did, but they did ask Jesus this kind of question in a lot of different ways. And like Jesus did so many times in conversations, he answered with a story. Jesus often used stories with real life examples to reveal a bigger truth. They're called parables. And in this case, he used the story of the sheep and the goats, not goats like you might be thinking, that's LeBron James. It's a totally different meaning and you'll find out why here in just a second. He used that illustration of sheep and goats to explain the differences between the righteous and the unrighteous, or those on the right side and those on what he would say is the wrong side. Or to think back to our superheroes, it's the good guys and the bad guys. It's Iron Man, Thanos. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus was simply trying to make it clear that there were two categories here. And since flocks and shepherds were a part of life in ancient Israel, just like superheroes are for us, everyone would have been familiar with this example. So again, the question presented to Jesus was, who's cool with you? Who's in good standing with you? Who's on the right side and who's on the wrong side? And in this story, the sheep are the right or the righteous, and the goats are not. So listen to what he says, specifically about the goats. He says this, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. That's a lot. I mean, in this story, Jesus distinguishes between the righteous and the unrighteous, the good guys and the bad guys, by how they responded to the needs of the least of these, whom Jesus defined as prisoners, the hungry, the sick, and strangers. In other words, people who need the most help, or people who feel the most pain, or get the worst treatment. Now, that may seem a little bit extreme. Is Jesus really that mad? I mean, he used some really strong words because they didn't give someone some water? I mean, listen to the level of shock that the goats expressed in the response to the king, King Jesus. They responded this way, when did we not see you? And when did we not clothe you or feed you or give you water? It's as if they're saying, whoa, 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 not me. I'd never do that. I would never ignore someone in need. So Jesus hadn't physically been hungry or thirsty or in prison, but he really wanted to make a point. He's going, not only did you not do something about the injustice, but you didn't even see it. What he's saying is, oh, you definitely saw the people, but you didn't see what was happening as injustice because you didn't see how much those people matter to me. In fact, when we don't see it, it's like Jesus takes personal offense as if we don't see him. Think about it like this. You might be missing out on a part of what it means to follow Jesus himself. Remember, this is a story about who is cool with Jesus and who isn't. And he's very clear about the answer. His people are people who see and act when it comes to injustice. Now, I'm not saying that that's what it takes to start a relationship with Jesus. That's a different conversation. But I am saying that if you get to know him, you'll see that Jesus always cares about injustice. He always speaks up for others and always fights for what's right. And if you follow him, you'll become more like him in that way. You'll begin to care about the things that he cares about. And because of Jesus's example, you may begin to see injustice differently than you ever have before. You may even feel compelled to do something more than you ever have felt before. Don't worry, we'll talk more about exactly what that could look like over the next few weeks. But for now, let's just start with one thing that we all have to choose to do first. Before you do something about injustice, you have to see it. That's where we need to start. We need to be able to look around and see what's happening in the world around us and in the neighborhood around us. We need to be able to notice the injustices in our daily, ordinary world. We all have room to grow in this. So Here are three simple things that we can do together. First, try to get close enough to see. And how do we do this? Well, there are a few things that we can do. For starters, we can pray and ask God to help us see things the way that He does. Then we can spend some time with people who are different than you and I. This doesn't come natural because we typically gravitate toward people that we are the same as. But in order to see what's going on in the world, you have to get to know people in the world, not just in your circle. So get close enough to see. Start up a conversation with someone in your class. Sit next to someone different than you in the cafeteria. Get a job that will help you meet people outside of your school or even outside of your community. Volunteer somewhere. Put yourself on the path to interact with different people. These are all ways to get close enough to other people in order to see the world from someone else's eyes. And you can make an effort to learn about others' experiences on your own. Watch a movie about injustice. There are so many of them. Do a little research on organizations who are working to help people in this world. Start discovering what's happening in the world and in your community. Then be curious enough to listen. I mean, really listen. The quickest way to see injustice is to listen to people that are experiencing it. When someone tells you about experiencing injustice, take the time and give them the attention by listening. And don't just listen, really try to learn. Try to imagine yourself in their shoes. Think about what they're saying. And here's a heads up, it's going to make you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable when I do this, especially if it's the kind of injustice that you've never experienced, or worse, the kind that you didn't realize that you may have participated in. This is when the conversation gets real. I mean, really real. And it may be tempting in that moment to bounce. Like, we're all wired with this survival instinct that says, hey, this is uncomfortable, I need to get out of here. I mean, literally some of us act like we're gonna die if we have to talk on an actual phone instead of texting. That is me. Why do we still make phone calls? But whatever, that's a different conversation. It's just uncomfortable. That's why we do it. And we, because we're human beings, hate being uncomfortable. But in this case, discomfort isn't necessarily bad. In fact, it can be really helpful. It's actually a good sign when bad things make you uncomfortable. It means you're beginning to see things the way that God sees them. So keep listening, try to learn, and when you hear about injustice, be curious, really curious, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, now there's another way that can be really helpful that we don't always think of, and it's to be curious about your own experience too. Maybe you'll notice that you've experienced an injustice, but you brushed it off because everybody around you kept saying, it's no big deal, don't worry about it. Or maybe you'll notice that you've actually participated in injustice without realizing it firsthand. You can't know what you'll discover until you get curious. Be open to what God may be doing in you and saying to you. And finally, be courageous enough to name it. That means if it's wrong, step up, speak up, say it's wrong. If it's unfair, call it that. When you see injustice around you or even in your own life, be courageous enough to call it what it is. Identifying injustice takes away some of its power because we can't change what isn't seen, acknowledged, or talked about. And this may be the hardest part for some of us. It's risky, it's awkward, and it's uncomfortable, but it's so important because once we name injustice, we also begin to feel ownership and the responsibility to do something about it. Listen, so much of following Jesus is learning to see and to think and to live in a way that's not natural to us. One of the things that I love about your generation is that so many of you actually see and care about injustice more than the generations that have gone before you. Here's what I'm getting at. You can be the generation to do something in areas where it seemed impossible for so many years. But the first step to doing something is seeing it and helping others to see it too. That's why we have small groups. There, we can actually talk about these things, real, difficult things, and we can help each other see things that we haven't seen before. In fact, your small group leader is an incredible person to talk to as you're processing and discovering new ways to see the world around you. Now, as you head out, I want you to think about this incredible quote from Maya Angelou. She's a famous writer who wrote about injustice pretty often. She said this, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better." That's what this series is about. Seeing better so we can know better and ultimately do better.